Right. I'm Stephen Blake, so I'm not the guy advertised on the door. Unfortunately, he couldn't turn up, so at the last minute I was given the opportunity to give the talk. He's a hypnotherapist, and that's also in my background, as well as NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Anybody come across that before? No? All right with that. Okay. It's very similar to hypnosis, but you just don't put people into trance. So it's just the words that you say actually change people in the way that I'll describe in a few minutes. Okay, so we'll get straight on with it. The last half of this, I am going to do some trance work with you. And I'll describe all of that just before we get there, and I'll give you a chance to get comfy and make sure the room temperature's right and everything else. Everybody hear me all right? Okay. Good. Right, so this is about the way the brain works. And I try and keep it as simplistic as possible. I don't talk about different areas of the brain or parts of the brain or put any technical jargon in whatsoever. I talk about the conscious or the unconscious part of the brain. So the conscious bit is the bit we're aware of. So anything we already know and understand is the conscious bit of the brain. It's the bit we think with, or the bit we compare with, or the bit we decide with. The rest of it all happens in the back of the brain, in the unconscious. And I call it unconscious deliberately rather than subconscious. So most of the places you read, if you read about the subconscious, they're actually talking about the unconscious. It's the same thing. But because I'm a hypnotherapist, we're actually trained to call it the unconscious rather than the subconscious, because sub means under. And it's not below your conscious bit of the brain, it's actually a higher thing. So when I talk about the higher self, I'm not talking about going further than the brain and what else might be out there that we receive and transmit with. That's beyond my capability of talking about. But what we actually do is most of the things are happening within our brain, and our unconscious is doing it for us. The unconscious is pre-programmed with many things, so that when you're born, you know how to eat, breathe, your blood temperature, the whole lot. All your bodily functions know how to work. And you're also programmed with a lot of survival skills. So babies, when they're first born, actually know how to step. If you hold a baby up to an edge like this, it will actually put its feet down, and it's got a rough idea of it, but it hasn't got the strength there to walk or whatever. And a very small child thrown into a swimming pool will actually survive and come to the top and actually be swimming. Which, strangely, they lose after like 9 months or something. So if you're going to throw a child in the swimming pool, just get the timing right. Okay. If it drowns, you can go, oh, I know, it's aged now. Would have been about 10 months or more. Okay, so we're born with all these survival skills. And then the thing that happens is we then learn things. And up to the age of about 6, we're sponges for everything that's thrown at us. And so everything that happens around us, we're observing it, we're taking it in. And we start to think that that's how life is. And that's great if you're brought up in a wonderful, calm, loving family. If you're brought up in a home where there's violence and everything else, that's what you're learning from that age onward, that this is normal. And we don't see any different to it. And the same with religion. If you're brought up with a certain religion, you'll hold on to that. There's very few people actually change religions, because we're brought up with something, so we see that that's the rules that we work. And some research I did quite recently stated that 80% of all we know about life we learn before we're 6. Right, that's a hell of a lot of things. So only 20% of how you know our life works is actually what you've learned for yourself. Everything else was before the age of 6, and you're learning it off everybody else. So you've got a lot of programs in there that you still run your life by that are not helpful to you. And it's helping people remove those or change those or replace those that I do most of my work with. It's not about catching yourself with every little flaw you've got and going, oh no, I've got to change that, or I'm thinking a bit negative today or whatever, and having to change. It's about deciding that something, enough is enough, and that you want to get rid of this program that's actually repeating itself in your head. Now the issue is that this loop that goes round, just imagine going on holiday now and you hand your suitcase in and you get to the other end and you go to the baggage reclaim. and you look for your bag going round. And if you're clever, you put a little ribbon on it or something so that you don't have to look at every single black suitcase going round going, is that mine, is that mine? So you actually spot yours going round and you're able to take it off and look inside. Now, the way our brain works is that we have all these loops of programs running. So anything we learn, as soon as it becomes automated, we pass it over to the unconscious. We don't have to think about it anymore. It becomes a natural process. And the same comes of habits. Whether they be good or they be bad, the unconscious takes it on and goes, oh, I know what we do now in these circumstances. This is what we do. And it runs this automatic program. These automatic programs are quite powerful because it doesn't have to decide anymore. It goes, in these circumstances, we run this loop. And this is what the baggage is. If you have, for instance, you have a suitcase. Well, sorry. I must say that all these on this baggage reclaim are your bags. Every single one of them. And so one will cover relationships. Others will cause hurt and anger and all the other sorts of things. So when we have a row with a partner over something quite trivial and we think, what the hell's that got from? Because what we've just said is quite innocuous. It's not what we actually just said. It's what's happening is our partner goes into the emotional bag, they fetch it off the loop and they go, right, let's have a look at this emotional bag. And they go, yes, he's just said that to me, or she's just said that to me. Put it in the case and stir it up with all the other stuff. And then all these emotions come spilling out. And you go, oh, God, you know, I've been through this before. And, you know, when that was said, it meant that. And we start comparing it with all the rubbish that's in there. We don't compare it with the good stuff. We don't go, oh, that's brilliant, you know, love and affection and all that. We actually just stir it up with all this rubbish in there. So I want you to imagine that if you go on holiday and you keep taking this emotional baggage with you, you pack a case for going to some nice warm country. And everything in there is what you need. And you've worked out how many nights out you're going to go out and just, you know, casual evenings. You've worked out the really high class evenings you're going to have where you're going to need some nicer clothes to go out and things. And everything's right for that place that you're going, the time that you're going to spend there and everything else. But with our life, because every single case is ours, we're actually going on holiday with the case from this year, the one before, the year before that, the year before that. And one of those holidays would have been to a cold climate. So we've got the big heavy coat in there and the gloves and the scarf and everything else. And so you're going on holiday carrying this massive trolley with like 15 bags on it. And that's our life. We're actually dragging all this baggage around that we don't need. And this is why I have the skip up there, because when you actually become aware of something that's holding you back or something that's causing you emotions, you actually go and look in that case while you've got it open and say, why am I so annoyed by what's just happened? Why do I feel like this from that? And if you analyse things away from the emotion of it, you can actually analyse it correctly. If you do it in the emotion of it, then we start making judgmental statements. You know, that always happens to me, you know. Lots of women have said, all men are bastards. You know? And that's a great overall statement to make if you've had a lot of trouble with guys. But the trouble is, if you start to believe that, then you will actually only find men who are bastards. And that encourages you to think that you're on the right track in the first place. Okay, so if we analyse it correctly, so if you've been married 6 times, and each one's been a bastard, you have to start thinking, well, what's the common thread here? And the common thread is your choice. Because not all men are bastards. And what are... Some are. So when you start going down that track, it's about analysing things correctly and saying, what have I got to learn from this experience? With whatever you're thinking about. So if something's bothering you, say, what have I got to learn from this experience? Particularly if something's repeating itself. So like being married 6 times. But also the dreams that we have, or quite often a nightmare, that regularly comes to us. or will come like once a year for the last 6 years. We have this dream and we're really upset by it. You need to think what that's trying to tell you. Because there's a message in everything. There's even a message in our bodies, in the illnesses we get and the tension we feel in certain places. There's a direct link between the emotion you feel and the tension you feel in the body. So I'm going to get you to do a quick exercise with me, okay? And all I want you to do is, I want you to put your shoulders back, put your head up straight, and just think of something really happy that's happened to you recently, something that you've really enjoyed, okay? And when you've got it, I just want you to close down, bring your head forward and bring your body forward and bring your arms in and try and continue feeling happy while you actually move into this different position. Okay? Not very easy, is it? But I want you to stay down there. Okay? So while you stay down there, be aware that you actually can't think too happy while you're down there. So I want you to think of something slightly sad. Not too sad, I don't want to have to hand tissues around. Okay, so think of something slightly sad while you're down there. And as soon as you feel sad, I want you to straighten up, put your shoulders back and your head back and continue to try and feel sad. Right? And that doesn't work either, does it? Okay, so what's happening is, when our moods and emotions change, we actually are doing something inside the body. And I think of it like this, that sort of sadness is like this, and then deep depression is like this. Now, you can tell when people are depressed, but they don't walk down the road like that. Okay? But that's happening inside the body. Things are closing in, closing things off. And depression is when you don't want to allow anybody else in. There's a darkness there, and even if people could help you, you don't want them in because you're shielding yourself off from all that. But you're not, you're actually trapping the emotion in. We don't get locked into cycles of love and happiness because we don't trap it in, we give it out. In fact, love and happiness is the exact opposite because it doesn't come from other people. It comes from giving it, right? You can't take love, you can only give love. And if you give love, you actually get it back. And you get more of it back. And then you start giving it away. And you actually can't deplete your store of love and joy. And if you think about love and joy, they're intertwined. They're absolutely almost the same thing. But people tell me that love is difficult or love is sad or what. I don't believe them. That's not love. Losing somebody you love is sad. But actually love, it's not. There's no sadness or hurt or anything in there. Love is just the most wonderful thing. So our bodies reflect what we feel. And our self-talk actually keeps conditioning us. So you've got all these things going on in the background, 80% of which you had before you were six, hence this five-year-old loading the conveyor belt up. And that keeps going round and round in your head. If you have a falling out with somebody and it's unresolved, that conveyor belt never stops. It will continue looking for the reason of why that happened. Forever. Absolutely forever. And sometimes we have to go back in the past and we have to stop this conveyor belt from running. So I deal with a lot of people who have been emotionally abused or physically abused. And I can't change what happened to them. But if I take them back to look at it, we can actually change how they feel about it. And quite often I'll get people to either decide to mentally hurt the person or pull the trousers down and kick them up the bum or shout and bawl at them or forgive them. And forgiving is the best choice because you're not holding on to anything anymore. And as soon as people let go of that loop and decide that it wasn't, you know, was I to blame, was it this, was it that? And particularly in abuse situations where somebody said, well, you made me do it, you were wearing a nice frock or whatever, you know, and you're 6 years old. As soon as you go back and realise as an adult that at 6 years old you cannot possibly be to blame for being abused. And as soon as people realise that, then it changes that loop. It finishes it off. It actually says, It was nothing to do with me. That was an abuser. It was tough luck. Wrong place, wrong time. I'd learnt from it. I can now move on. And they let go of it. In a few minutes, I'm going to go through channeling your thoughts with you and dealing with things. Now, I don't want you to bring something big up, like abuse or whatever. But think of something that keeps reoccurring to you, or even a thought process that keeps coming back. All right? But not something too big, something we can deal with today. Okay? Because we're going to deal with it in about 15 minutes. Okay? Now, the things that you can't deal with are the fact that we, every minute of every day, we have always lived in the present. We've never lived in the past. We've never lived in the future. We've always lived in the present. And even that sentence now is in the past, as we move into the present. The best you can make of life is to always live in the present. And whatever you do, try and enjoy that time that you've got there. If you live in the past, you live in the regrets of what happened or what could have happened or why didn't I or why shouldn't I. And if you think about it, thoughts are just thoughts. And yet what we do with them is we turn them into reality. Thoughts hurt us more than any physical pain ever. If you look back at a relationship and it was a real bad breakup, that will hurt you more than somebody stamping on your feet or whatever. But thoughts are just thoughts, and it takes us to turn them into reality. And by going back and constantly looking at something and chewing it over, we don't actually get anywhere with it. So what I want you to do is, any time that you get something from the past cropping up, I want you to think about it very carefully, and I want you to say to your unconscious mind, this is the last time I'm going to deal with it. We're either going to get to the bottom of why it happened, or we're going to decide there's nothing to learn from this. We're going to move on. You can literally throw things out of your brain. The reason you can do this is the brain doesn't know any difference between reality and imagination. If you involve it in all your different senses when you imagine something, then it's as real as it can get. The latest research is the only slight difference is that when we actually do something, we have what they call modalities. So when we remember it, we remember a picture of it, we remember the smells, the sounds and all that. If you do something in your mind, you might actually have those modalities in different places. So if we think about something, the picture's usually there, it might just be in a different place. And that might be the way we know the difference between reality and what we thought about. But if you do things in such a way that you involve all your senses, you can literally take something that's bothered you for the whole of your life and throw it away. The minute you throw it away, the brain now forgets the access code to get it back again. It can't find it again. So you can get to the emotional state and you go looking for it, and it'll go, we threw it out. Can't you remember? We threw it out the other week. And it's a bit like if you had a yellow dress in the wardrobe, and you thought, oh, I've never worn that, and you threw it in the dustbin. If you went to the wardrobe the next, you'd forget then that you've done it, because it doesn't matter anymore. But if you went to the wardrobe a few weeks later and you saw that yellow dress again, they'd be thinking, where the hell's that come from? And it's no different to throwing something out of your brain that's been bothering you for years. You don't go looking for it anymore because it doesn't exist anymore. Right? So you can take it down that process of taking it and throwing it away. And in fact, that's what I'm going to do with you. I've just decided. Okay. So I want you to think now of something that you would like to throw away. But I would like you to think first, is there anything to be learned from it? Okay. You don't have to tell me what it is. This is your own private thoughts. So just think of something that you want to throw away from the past. A process that no longer helps you, or something that bothers you all the time, or a relationship, or anything like that. Anything that you would like to get rid of, because you don't want to revisit it. Okay? And just while you're in there, just ask if there's anything to be learned from it. Just analyse if there's anything you want to take from it. Because in a few minutes you're going to throw it away. Now, everything we get that's repetitive is a message to us. And the strange thing about messages is, just think of it like a guy coming to your front door with a parcel. And he sees through your kitchen window, as he approaches the front door, that somebody's in. So he knocks on the door. Got a parcel for you. Right? If you ignore him, does he go, got a parcel for you? He doesn't. He goes, got a parcel for you. Because he thinks, well, he haven't heard me. And then if he's on a time thing and he wants to get on, he'll kick the door. He'll headbutt it. He'll hammer on the door, right? And eventually he'll go and answer the door and get the parcel. Now imagine the same guy coming with a message for you. And you actually answer the door and the bloke talks in gibberish. Or some language you don't understand. And he goes, well, and you go, I don't know what language you're talking about, but I don't understand it. You'd say to them, can you come back with somebody who can talk English and tell me? And it's the same with the messages that we're getting. Sometimes we just get aches and pains and things that are related to a head issue and an emotion that follows on from that. So you want to know what the message is saying. And if you actually, and your unconscious won't do anything that harms you more than the thing it thinks it's protecting you from. So it can harm you, but it will only do things to protect you from doing something else. So for instance, I had claustrophobia until a few months ago. And I sorted it out just by saying, the chest pains I get when I think I've got to go into a confined space and the way I feel about myself are more likely to kill me than going into a tight space. You know, if there's air coming under the door, that's not going to kill me. But this is. You know, I had 4 hours one day of a massive panic attack. And I literally said to my unconscious, you think I'm going to die if I go in that cupboard, because I actually analysed why I'd got claustrophobia, and it was to do with death, and my father had collapsed a few weeks before, and all sorts of things. And I said, but I'm not going to die, am I? You've got that wrong. So thank you for keeping me out of confined spaces because you thought that was going to kill me, but you're more likely to kill me giving me the symptoms that stop me from going into the confined space. So turn it off. And it did. 2 minutes later, I was asleep. I'd had this thing for 4 hours. You can't deal with things while you're within the emotion. So if something triggers an emotion off, like rage or whatever, you cannot deal with it in that time. So this idea that you can have loads of techniques and every time you get into a rage you just breathe and you do this. No, sort it out so you don't get into the rage. And you can only do that by interrupting the program it runs that says, well, when this happens I feel threatened so I get into a rage. You interrupt that program, so you do it before it happens. So once I'd switched off the claustrophobia, I now don't get the feeling I shouldn't go in the cupboard. It's like, it's just a cupboard. It doesn't matter anymore. So, are you all happy to do a little bit of a trance? Okay. So, temperature, everybody all right? Not stuck in a draft or anything? Clothing, just make sure your clothing's comfortable around you. If you cross arms or anything like that, you might find that it goes a bit numb. It's only going to be about 15 minutes, but we're used to moving all the time. But what I'm going to say is that... Has anybody been in hypnotic trance before? 2, 3, 4... You haven't? Right, okay. What to expect is only that you're relaxing. You're just letting go of things, okay? There's absolutely no danger from any of this. You'll hear every word I say. You might start thinking about other things. You might even drift off to sleep. You might start thinking about the shopping you're going to do. You might think, my God, I came into the wrong class. Any of that. Okay? But all you'll feel is this nice relaxation. The only thing I'm going to ask of you is, once I've asked you to close your eyes, is that you keep them closed. Okay, I'm not going to touch you, so you're not going to feel anything. So all you're going to do is you're going to take yourself off to a nice place. Then I'm going to talk about this thing you want to get rid of. So if you've decided there's no message to be had from it, or if you've taken the message from it, you're then going to throw it away. Okay? Has everybody thought of something they're quite happy to throw away? Okay? If in the future you ever felt like getting it back, you can actually retrieve it by just going, oh, I need this now. But you won't need to.
Okay.
Right, is everybody all right with tin foil?
Yep.
Okay. It's a very good thing for getting rid of things. Okay. So, what I'm going to ask is, sit as relaxed as you can. And I want you to take three nice big deep breaths for me. And just open your mouth and just let it go. Just... Now, this is a nice safe environment. If anything happens, like an alarm goes off or anything, I'll make sure that you come straight back round. You don't need to deal with anything here. If anybody comes into the room, then you can just ignore them. And Trudy will put them in the appropriate seats or send them, chase them off. Okay, so just sit there nice and relaxed. And this is a visualisation technique. And you can do this for yourself whenever you want to go to sleep at night or just take a few minutes out during the day. And it's a simple relaxation technique that just uses a few little words. And some of those words are, I'm relaxing, relaxing, totally relaxed. And we can identify certain points. And because of the time limits today, I'm just going to deal with your head. And so I want you to feel the sunshine on the back of your head and feel the warmth of it and feel the power and energy of the sun just on the crown of your head. And this is full of healing light and rays, and it's going to penetrate all of your bodily tissues, your skin and your skull, and just feel that warmth and energy coming from it and let that expand forward into your forehead. And as it expands across your forehead, say to your forehead, relax, relax, and then totally relax. As the sun goes further down, it now covers the tops of your eyes, and around the tops of your cheeks. And you can tell those muscles in the eye, there's six main muscles there. You don't need them anymore for the moment. And your eyelids stay closed on their own. So just tell those muscles around your eyes to relax. Relax. And then totally relax. As it moves down to your cheeks and your mouth and your jaw, just feel that sunshine and those beautiful rays. And allow that all to relax. If any time you're in this wonderful relaxation, you need to fidget or move your arms or have a little cough or a sneeze, just feel that you can do so without breaking into the trance. And now I just want you to relax your neck and allow your head to go forward if that's where it wants to go. And if your mouth wants to open slightly, feel that you can do so with nobody watching you. As long as it feels nice and relaxed to you. And I'm just going to take you down a few steps as you visualise going off to a place where you can most relax. We're just going to go down five stairs. Let's go down the top of the stairs, down five, lower. Deeper still, two, even deeper, one. Dave, allow your head to go forward, Dave. Just allow it to go in its own way. Don't fight it. You don't need to fight any of this now. as you can now talk to your unconscious, and the thing I ask you to prepare for yourself, I just want you to visit it for a few seconds. You've already decided that you want to get rid of it. You don't have to look at it. You don't have to suffer it anymore. You're now ready to throw it away. You've taken any learning from it that you needed to learn. You've analysed it in the best possible way. And now you don't want to see it again. And so I want you to, you're unconscious now. I want it to go into the deepest recesses of your mind and remove all the plugs, like the plugs in a switchboard. Just pull those plugs out and remove all the connections to this thing that you no longer want to revisit, because you don't need to go there anymore. And then when you've unplugged all the things to this experience that you no longer want, I want you to get out a piece of silver tin foil in your head and open it out and go to everywhere where you've pulled the plugs out and pull out all that old material that you're not going to visit anymore and put it in the silver tin foil and start to wrap it up. I want you to use all your senses now, so visualise the texture of that tin foil as you hold it in your hand. And pluck out those bits and put it into the tinfoil and feel it rustling and hear it, feel that texture as you get every bit of that old rubbish out of your head. Put it all in the tinfoil now, and when you've got every single last bit of it out, just fold it over itself until it's totally airtight. And now you're going to take it out of your head and put it into your hands. And just notice how it comes out your head. It feels so much better as the further distance it gets away from you. And as you have it in your hands, I want you to now visualise that you're at home and that you're taking this out now to your bin outside. And don't put it in the recycle bin, put it in the one that goes to landfill. And open the lid on that bin. Just smell those smells. Hear the noise of the bin lid lifting. Smell that dustbin. Not a very nice smell, but this is where all those contents are going, in that silver foil. And throw the silver foil in there with all its contents. And say goodbye to it, never to be revisited. And as you throw it in the bin and you close the lid and the smell goes away, you now see the dustbin lorry coming to collect that bin. And the guy puts it on the back of the dustbin lorry and empties it into the back of the bin. And as he empties it into the bin, you see the silver foil dropping out of the bin into the back of the dustbin lorry. And it gets crushed and pushed in further. And you know it's gone now as they hand you back your empty bin. And watch that dustbin lorry now going down the road. And know that it's going off, never to be seen again. Like all the other old rubbish that was in the bin. You never get to see it again. It'll never hurt you again, as off it goes down the road. And visualise that dustbin lorry getting smaller, and smaller, and smaller, until it disappears over the horizon. And with it goes all that pain and memories, never to bother you again. Now I want to finish off by talking to your unconscious and saying thank you for joining in with you today. And thank you for all the work it does for you every minute of every day. Running your lungs, your heart, your temperature. Everything that you do is run by your unconscious. And it never gets thanked. And so I want you to join in with me and just thank your unconscious for what it did. And just apologise to it for this thing that it didn't put there. It wasn't a programme it made upon its own. Somebody put it there. It might have been you, it might have been other people. But just say thank you for getting rid of it. That was harming me, and I know you mean me no harm. And that all you can do for me is good. and know that you can visit this place any time in the future that you want to, with any issue. Just understanding the rules are that you listen to the message first, and that you analyse it, and then you say, no more. I don't need to keep going through this loop. So we say thank you to your unconscious. I'd like you to join me in just thinking about somebody you love. I just want you to fill yourself up with that love. Fill it with love until it's bursting out of your skin. And I want you to send that love out into the room. Fill the room up with love. And then send it out even further. Across the UK, across Europe, across all the seas. Send this love out to everybody on the planet that needs it. And as you can visualise it now going every direction all around the world, goes right underneath the world and it's coming back now into this room. Every bit of the love you've sent out is now coming back towards you, but filled with the love of everybody you've touched along the way. And just feel that love entering you and feel how beautiful it is to give out love. And know that when you give out love, you will never deplete the stock of it. You will always have love in return. And just feel that unconditional love that's returned to you. So once again, we'll say thank you to your unconscious. And in a few moments, I'm going to bring you back into the room. So just think through what's happening now. Just enjoy the fact that you can change your life at any time you want to. As I lead you back to the steps, and we come back up 5 steps into the room. 5, 4. 3, 2, 1. Whenever you're ready, open your eyes and come back into the room. Don't try and move or go anywhere. And get your bearings done. How are we doing for time, Ollie?
10:10.
10:10. That's very good timing. Now you all want to go home for a kit now, don't you? Everybody okay with that? You all went under okay? Yeah? Anybody struggle with that or anything?
Okay.
Don't
remember anything
else. That's fine. Anyway. That's fine. It does mean you won't be able to repeat it on your own. But if you give me your email address, you'll get the talk. Oh, I must say that with this recording will come an overrider statement that actually says, do not ever play it back in a car or anything, because you will go back into the same trance-like state. Okay. And now you've been there once, it's so easy to get back there. In fact, if you're all up for it, I'll give you another little thing of doing that even faster. Would you like that? And it doesn't involve trance. So you'll actually remember this one. Okay. Everybody up for that? Okay. Right, everybody up to standing. Can you all stand? Are you... You all okay? You're looking a little pale. Were you pale before?
No, I'm alright.
Right, thank you. just checking, I don't want anybody fainting.
Yeah, no, you're
okay. Right, now, because we talk to our unconscious, we're actually talking to it all the time. When we do self-talk, particularly if we do negative stuff, so we look in the mirror and go, oh, you fat bugger you, and then that upsets us, so then we go and eat a bun, and then we get fatter, and then we go, you fat bugger you, and it carries on like that, and it gets worse. Right? But that self-talk is actually destroying you because you're actually hearing it. You're hearing into the conscious level, it goes back into your unconscious, you believe it, so you actually go along with it, and then it just becomes this vicious cycle of, you know, whatever it is that's bothering you. So, and women have this particular thing of pointing out every fault that they have. In fact, the more attractive they have, the more faults they point out that they've got, which is a rather strange thing. But anyway, so here's a method of going direct to your unconscious, because now that you've already talked to it, right, you'll understand that you do have an unconscious and you can talk to it. But you can talk to it with normal language. You don't necessarily have to be in trance. So all I want you to do is, I want you to put your feet nearly close together, not quite there, just so you're on a bit of a point of balance. And do you want to come out front, Trudy?
Yeah.
And I just want you to look at something on the wall that's just above eye level, just to keep your eyes up a bit. Okay? And what we're going to ask, I'm just going to talk to your unconscious and you're going to talk to it. I'm going to ask it to give you a sign for yes. Right? I'll explain later why we don't go on for now. And all I'm going to do is, Trudy's unconscious, I just want it to give you a sign for yes. But I want it to be so deliberate that you know it's your unconscious talking to you. So I want it to be something like that, or that, or that, or that. Okay? So I want it to be so that you're in no doubt. I mean, if you get a pendulum out, you might go, well, I think I made it go to the yes. But we're not talking no now, so we're going to say now, thank you, unconscious, for joining in the last exercise. But I just want you to give me a sign for yes, that you're willing to talk to me in the future. Okay? So just put yourself there, you can close your eyes if you like. Just wait for that to be quite a feeling. And as soon as you've got the feeling, sit down, please. And anybody not got the feeling, I'll talk you through it. All right? You got it?
Okay.
Okay. So, now whenever you want to talk to your unconscious, because you've actually arranged a signal with it, you can actually sit down just in the calmness of things. Don't ever do this while you're in an emotional state or whatever. It's not a yes-no machine. Sorry, thank you for that. It's not a yes-no machine. So if you start to do the running your life around it, if you start to go, well, should I, you know, marry Fred or whatever, it will go to one of these old loops. It will go to what the five-year-old programmed, and it will go, oh, well, I'm a bit worried about this and I'm a bit concerned about this. It won't actually give you the right decision. So don't use it for that sort of thing. But if you've discovered a loop and you want to alter it, you can actually bargain with your unconscious to change that loop. Now, usually it's got there by repetition, 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 which has made it an automatic loop. So if you go in just the once, you've got to have a really good reason for it to change. And if you say, right, I'm going to stop jogging every morning, the unconscious loop will go, that's bloody painful, I've done it before. Oh, I have to get up every morning earlier. And it'll do all the reasons why you shouldn't do jogging. But while you're determined, you'll do it for a day or two, and then you think, well, I felt better, and then the next day you have a day off, and then you get out of the loop again. So you've got to come up with something that actually overrides that loop. And the only way to do it is with this automatic process that talks to it. Now, imagine the gatekeeper to your unconscious mind as a small child, but very intelligent child. And as you would talk to your child, if you bash it about and go, you know, you're horrible, you're sluggish, you're this, you're that, you're stupid, you'll never do any good in the world. If you talk like that to your unconscious, it won't do anything for you. This is why I never give it a chance to say no. Right? You ask it if it'll do something, and it either gives you a yes or it doesn't. If you go yes now, it'll go, no, not doing that. Right? So if you give it a chance to say yes, if it doesn't give you a yes, then you haven't convinced it yet. So you have to go, well, you need to do it because, and then you give it more reasons. And then you say, well, where we are at the moment is, I don't like this thing that's running. It's not your fault. You didn't put that program in there, I put that program in there, but it was when I was young. I want to override that program now, and this is why. And so you have to explain it away. And the more passionate you are about the new thing going in, the less it needs willpower, the more it's going to override that old program. So you say it with feelings and everything else. Over to you if you can remember what you're saying.
I was going to give an example of this particular yes, because when Stephen did it first to me and I got a definite yes, I thought, wow, this is my unconscious now. I've got this other part of me that I never realised I had. My day job is sat in front of a computer, so I get a lot of shoulder problems and very tight muscles. And one particular day I woke up where my particular shoulder muscle just behind here was lock solid. So it's like, can't even get to drive out, you know, look at reverse. At work, it was killing me. So at lunchtime, I thought, right, I'm going to see if this works for me. So I stood in the canteen there and I said, right, start to talk to my unconscious. I said, right, give me a yes. So it gave me a yes because mine goes backwards. I said, right, I've got this pain in my shoulder. I know what it's from, I've slept awkwardly. I don't need this pain. I'm not taking a lesson from it in this particular instant because I just woke up, I must have been sleeping in an awkward position. Are you willing to release the pain from me? Of course it gave me a yes. I said, right, okay. Will you release this pain from me and tell me when you've done it? So I just stood there and it was like, I can't explain it, but it was like a heat tingling just where the muscle was really tight and you could feel it releasing. Now for the next couple of days I felt bruised there because that muscle had gone into tension. But I had movement. I could actually look behind me, and it was. I thought, wow, this is powerful stuff. What the mind can do. So I have to share.
So it's all about learning from the message. So pain is often a message to us that says slow down, or whatever. I help a lot of people with ME and fibromyalgia, and that they all overdo things. And the message is, if you ain't going to slow down, I'm going to stop you. And it does what it needs to stop them. And this is why there'll never be a cure for it that comes in tablet form, is because it's different for every single person, because their system goes, well, I know what will stop you, and it gives them an illness that fits them, precisely. Even to the point of people that like watching TV or whatever, who would then just, well, at least I can sit in front of the telly, it gives them an analogy to the bright light. So it knows exactly what's going to stop you, and it keeps giving you more and more problems along the way, going, have you not got it yet? Do you not understand you need to slow down? And then they'll try and fight the illness, and that makes them even worse. And then they sort of like, then it's like, oh no, these are all physical symptoms, it's nothing to do with my head. But it is, it's because it's trying to stop you, and your brain and body are not separate. They work totally in conjunction with each other, hence this sort of thing. Hence if you watch somebody on the phone and they get bad news and they go, and you can feel it. You can stand behind them, you can feel that tension going there.
Can you say what, you know, with ME and stuff, I've had ME and got it a little bit still.
Yep.
Your body kind of gets locked into the stress response, doesn't it?
Yes.
So how do you unlock it when you've done it all your life?
I can talk you through that afterwards. But
okay.
In a nutshell, I helped somebody with it. I worked out how it worked. Somebody came to see me the 2 weeks later when I sort of worked out how it worked. I did 20 minutes hypnosis with her. She started to recover straight away, and she's had ME for 20 years. I went to an event and was got a phone call from this woman who said how good her life was. I got a text from her, and she was in New York or somewhere. And when I'd met her, she was barely able to get out of bed. So she was on holiday with her friends, and it was a fantastic text. And I sort of took it in this meeting, and I was like, this woman said, oh, that's quite a text. And I went, oh, I'll tell you later. So in the break, I said, oh, I've just helped somebody recover from ME. And she said, well, I've got it. And all I did with her is I talked her through my theory, which was that because you overdo things, it shuts you down. And I tried to get the script that I'd done on the other woman to help her with it, and I couldn't get the script. And I said, well, I'll meet you in 6 weeks' time at this next event, and I'll do the hypnosis on you. She started recovering just from understanding that it was within her control, and that it was about, not the fact that she's lazy, that it was the exact opposite. And this is why people get so annoyed with ME and all the other things, is that, you know, I'm not lazy, because you're not. You are the exact opposite.
Yeah.
But every single person that's got ME or fibromyalgia overdoes things or is a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And it takes one illness that actually goes, pushes you overboard where you can't do anything, and then it goes, oh, this is a good idea. Made you lay down, haven't it? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, pain and extreme tiredness is going to stop you. But it will never do anything to hurt you. Your body will never do anything to hurt you. So it sees that as better than you killing yourself. That's all that's happening. It's actually giving you all these things.
Yeah, I understand. Stop it. I understand it. I just wonder how you get out of that stress response when you've been in it all your life.
I'll have 10 minutes with you.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that concludes my talk. If anybody wants to ask any questions or anything, I'll let everybody else go. But thank you very much for attending. You've been a pleasure to work with.
Thank you.
Thank you.